In the last 2 weeks of term, we had two talks on the book of Proverbs, and that's where I gave a bit of an introduction to the book of Proverbs, a bit of an introduction to wisdom in general, and a bit of a talk on what it means to fear the Lord. And what we're going to be doing for the next few weeks is continuing our look in the book of Proverbs, this time tracing particular themes through the book of Proverbs. The last one we did was the fear of the Lord, and we looked at the whole book of Proverbs and saw what wisdom it taught about the fear of the Lord. Today we're going to be looking at laziness and trying to become really lazy people, find out all the wisdom the Bible's got for that. That didn't work, that joke, did it? Okay. and then next week we're going to be looking at the wisdom of wine, and then relationships and justice, and a few other main themes that are picked up in the book of Proverbs. So that's what we're going to be doing, and on the back of your outline that you received as you came in, there'll be a collection of verses which I'll be giving you, which pick up some of the main verses that I'll be looking at for that theme. Basically, I sit down each week and read through Proverbs again and pick out all the verses which deal on a topic, and then I make a talk out of that, but I give you the verses a week in advance so that you can have a look at them yourself and look at Proverbs yourself. Now, there's one thing I know, and that is I don't like being called names by people. There are different names that we might call people. I had a friend calling me Stinky a little while ago. I don't know why, but he was. I didn't like that. I guess if you're a Christian, a swear word might be to call you a fundamentalist. That's a swear word to apply to Christians, I think. But there's this word that comes up several times in the book of Proverbs called the sluggard. When was the last time you used the word sluggard? It's not one of our common words, but I looked it up in the dictionary, and it's the noun for a lazy person. You just don't say, like there is no noun for a lazy person that I can think of. The word is sluggard. So the person who's a lazy person, that is the person who doesn't do their share of the work, who bludges around, the Bible has this word, or the English language has this word called sluggard. And that's what we're going to be looking at today, and looking at a number of proverbs with it, which talk about it. And I guess that laziness is something that we all struggle with at different times. You might struggle with laziness just before exams. You might struggle with laziness at your home. And so I'm not in any way meaning to be judgmental of people, but rather I want us to think carefully about our own godliness and how we can be lazy, different ways in which we can be lazy, and to identify that, and I guess to learn the wisdom of Proverbs, so that we can live godly lives. So that's the idea of what we're trying to do today. Let's have a look at this first one, Proverbs 22. If you don't have a Bible, please look on with someone. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 13. We see here that something that the lazy person specialises in is excuses. Excuses. If you want to be lazy, you've got to have a good repertoire of excuses. 22, verse 13. The sluggard says, there is a lion outside, or I will be murdered in the streets. Now, back in the days when this was written, about 1000 BC, there could well have been a lion in the streets. A lion could come in from the country and be walking around the streets, but that doesn't mean you never go out. It's like saying, oh, I better not go out because I might get hit by a car. If I cross the road, if I'm driving a car, I could get hit by the car and I could die. Therefore, I better not go and do what I was going to do. And we need excuses if we want to be lazy. When I lived with four young men when I first moved out of home, and we were in this one place. And one of the people I lived with, he had a really nasty, lazy habit. He would just sit back on the lounge chair watching the video, and everything he finished eating, he would shove the remnants of it under the cushions in the lounge chair. And I didn't mind finding, chip packets. I could handle chip packets because, okay, you clean up the chip packet. But it was like banana skins and all these things. And he had this dog. He had this dog, and he'd just sit there watching the video with the dog on his lap. And I was, I'd sort of walked through across the lounge room. And I noticed after a while, just feeling these little slight touches on my leg. This is if you're just lightly touching your leg when I walked across the lounge room. I thought, what's that, man? Like, I said, that is, you know what it was. Then one day I looked down, it was a flea. And he just sat there, and the dog would just come in, please. I don't know where the fleas were on him, but the carpet was just infested with fleas. The bathroom. I would not even go in. There's two bathrooms in the house. I would not even go into his bathroom without shoes on. It was just putrid, and his towel was like greased towel. It was unbelievable. Now, he always had an excuse. I'd say, wash your dog. Wash your dog, man. It's not, you know, but he'd always say, look, I'll do it later. Have you ever said, I'll do it later? When you should be doing it now, but I'll do it later. We make excuses for just being lazy, you know, like maybe you've got your computer set up in such a way that you can flick between computer games and word processor very quickly, so that, you know, if your parents are there, you're on the word processor. Parents go, control, alt, bang, shooting down German planes or something. So we can be saying, oh, I'm watching a video, I'm entertained. Hey, how much does entertainment become an excuse for some of us, for us all, I guess, at some stage, for just being lazy, when we should do work, but yet we'll go and get a whole lot of videos, watch all the videos, get really tired from just watching all the videos, then wake up the next morning, not be able to work properly because we're so tired from watching videos all night, when we could have done some work and maybe just watched one video? I'm not saying you can't watch videos. I'm just saying that entertainment can be an excuse. I'm just relaxing. I'm still relaxing. But I think as Christians, we can also have excuses for being, common excuses just for being lazy. For instance, we might say, well, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. And so I'm not going to have to go out and do the hard work to get whatever it is I need. I'm just going to pray. See, prayer. I'm going to trust in God, that God will provide. Now, we do need to trust that God will provide, and we do need to pray that God will provide us with the things we need. But there's a difference, isn't there, between just saying, well, I'm going to do nothing, and it's up to God to do it. I'm just going to sit back and do nothing. So that the Lord will provide actually comes from, the phrase actually comes from when Abraham was about to sacrifice Isaac, and Abraham was actually doing something, and then the Lord provided the ram, the sheep for him, instead of, so he didn't sacrifice his son, but he sacrificed the sheep. So the Bible never has this idea of the Lord will provide. It should be an excuse for us for laziness. But yet we can do that all year. We're just praying about it. I just want you to be honest. Do you give your parents excuses for not doing work around the house? I know some of you live in flats. What about with your flatmates? Are you doing your fair share of the work, or are you being lazy and giving excuses to your parents? We can easily do that, can't we? Rather than pulling our weight around the house, we're actually happy to let our mum do all the work around the house. Now, sometimes it can just be that our mums have always done it. Like, I grew up with my mum just doing everything, and I just thought that's just what mum did. And so I never did any dishes, never made my bed, never did anything, because mum just did it. My children don't have that luxury. My son, Jordan, is 4, and he's already started making his bed. And he can't reach to do the dishes yet, but he will be. But, yeah, have you done that to your parents? Are you pulling your weight for your parents? Now, the other thing that the lazy person can do is they can justify their laziness. And we can justify. Can't we look at Proverbs 26, verse 16? 26 verse 16. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than 7 men who answer discreetly. The sluggard, that is the lazy person, is wiser in his own eyes than 7 men who answer discreetly. So if you've got 7 wise people, the sluggard actually thinks that they're wiser than them. And I think what it's saying there is that the sluggard can always justify their actions. You know, like you can always justify not starting your assignment early. But you can always justify starting it the night before. You know, there's always this reason to just say, well, I don't need to do it yet. I've got more important things to do. And you've got a wisdom in your own eyes of saying, I'm just going to bludge around and not do my work and I can always do it at the last minute. And you can always justify it. Now, in Torah, if you were to stand before people who said, but look, you should be doing your assignments on time, you should be doing your work around the house on time, you should be doing these things, you'd still manage to find some excuse, some reason, to actually say, no, I don't need to do it. That's something we need to be careful of. If we are lazy, that we're not trying to justify our laziness and refuse to be corrected when people bring it up with us. It might be that your parents might get angry at you. If your parents get angry at you for being lazy, take that as a gentle rebuke that you should be doing something. Alright, we'll move on. Chapter 12, verse 11. Just looking at a few of these and getting a bit of a feel for what it says. And I'll be pulling more application out of this one. Chapter 12, verse 11. He who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. He who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. Now, what's a fantasy? I guess a fantasy is, to some degree, could be a dream that you have, something that's possibly a little unattainable, that you like the idea of it, and it's a fantasy that you'll chase. It's a fantasy that you'll give other things up for, even if it's not realistic, that you'll chase after it, and in fact, in doing so, you'll actually be lazy with the work you should be doing. And so the person who works his land will have the abundant food, but who chases fantasies, well, when the time comes when he's supposed to have his crops there, or he's supposed to have his degree, or he's supposed to have whatever it is, it's not there because he hasn't done the work he's supposed to. I can remember when I was in a band, it was a bit of a fantasy for me. I was playing in this rock band, and I really didn't do my uni work that I should have, because I was chasing after this fantasy. Now, I'm not saying you can't have dreams. I actually think you do have to have dreams. You have to have things that you're working towards. But we must not let our dreams, the things that we desire, our fantasies possibly, be something that stops us from working, that makes us lazy. Now my brother, one of his dreams, one of his fantasies, is that he'd like to have a boat and go searching for sunken ships, ancient ships. There's heaps of them around, and he'd like to do that. Now, you know, my parents don't think a whole lot of this fantasy of, you know, going searching for lost treasure. But it's okay because he keeps on working hard at his job. And he gets the boat magazines and he looks at all these different, you know, ex-Navy ships that he wants to buy. But okay, that's all right because he's still hard at work doing the work that he should be doing. And so if he gets enough money to do it, well, good on him. He can go and do that. That's his dream. That's what he wants to do. He has various dreams from various times. But he doesn't let his dream and his fantasy stop him from working with the work he's supposed to be doing now. And neither are you. We're not to be so obsessed with fantasies, ideas of impossible things that maybe could never happen, that we just get so preoccupied with that we actually don't do the work we should do. Have a look at... Now, actually, something is related to this, and this may sound strange, but you can be a very busy, lazy person. You ever thought of that? You can be a very, very busy, lazy person. How does that work? How can you be a really, really busy, lazy person? Have a look at chapter 24, verse 27. I actually look at two verses here, and this relates to what we've just said there. 24, verse 7. Finish your outdoor work and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. Finish your outdoor work first and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. You see, there's an orderliness of work, isn't there? There's no use if you've got a whole block of land of getting all the, of going and building your house and you actually haven't got any income from the land to do it. Or you don't have any income from the land to get food and spending all of your time on your house when you don't actually have the income to do it. You can see the wisdom there, that there's a time to do one type of work and then a time to do another type of work, even though you might prefer working on your house. there's another work you've got to do first before you do the work that you want to do. Or verse 20, verse 4. 20, verse 4. A sluggard does not plow in season, so at harvest time he looks but finds nothing. The sluggard does not plow in season, so when the time was the time for plowing, he was too lazy to do it. And then when the harvest time, he comes out, looks around, oh, there's nothing out here. So we can see from those two verses that there's a timing in which we're supposed to do some things and not do others, and get that timing right. And there's times in our life where we need to balance things properly. We need to get the right aspect on our work and not be very busy but be very lazy. You see, I could be very busy in my home doing my work for Focus in my little dungeon under the house. So I could be in there very, very busy and completely lazy in looking after my family. I could say to my wife, I'm doing the work of the Lord. So you look after the four kids and I don't have time to read the Bible with you much and teach the kids in God's way because I'm too busy doing God's work. See, that's what I'm doing, a whole lot of work. I'm very busy, but yet I'm very lazy with my family. Now, you could be slack at home, but really busy at church or with your uni work. Sort of brought this up already, haven't I? But see, with your parents, do your parents see you as a hard-working son or daughter? Or do they see you fly in from uni, fly out again? Fly in, fly out. And so you're very busy with uni, you might be very busy with church, but you're a bludgeon child. And you don't help your parents. If you really want your parents to love you and actually to realise that you've become an adult, may I say, take responsibility at home and do your fair share. Now, in one sense, I'm not blaming you if you don't, because as I said, my mum just always did it, and if you've always grown up with your parents just doing it for you, you may not think any differently. But if you'll just actually do things when you see them needing to be done. So if the lawn needs mowing, go and grab the mower and do it. Your dad probably won't believe it. Right? Or if the dishes need doing, just go and do it. Don't say anything. You don't have to wait for your parents to ask you. Just take responsibility. See yourself as a fellow adult in the house, which you are now, and go and do something. And then that way your parents will rejoice. We're told that a wise son or daughter brings joy to his father and his mother in the Proverbs. And if your parents see you maturing like that and being wise in the way you behave, your parents will rejoice. Now, it could be that you're slack at your uni work because of your involvement in your church and your gospel work. It could even go that way, couldn't it? That you're here at uni, but yet, because you've got the freedom of flexible hours, because you've got the freedom of the government supporting you to be here, you can actually be very lazy with your uni work. I know this. I was a uni student, and I know struggling with this one. Because I had such flexibility with uni, I could be lazy with my uni work and not do the work I was supposed to do. And part of the reason was I found it boring. Compared with my church, which was exciting, which was with people, which was digging into the Word of God, which was great fun, I enjoyed doing that, but to actually sit down and force myself to do an assignment was going to take real self-control. It was going to take hard work, and it could be that you're lazy in your uni work because of your church work. Now, I'm not saying don't do your church work. Don't hear me say that. But what I am saying is I don't want your church and your gospel ministry and your Christian life to be a cause of laziness in your uni work. Just in the same way, when I'm working away under the house writing a talk for Focus, when I hear that it's bath time upstairs about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I'll put the pens down, I go up and help wash. Have you ever tried to wash four little kids? It's like, you know, imagine if four puppies in the bath just jumping out of it. It's madness. And so I don't like my wife having to do that on her own, so I go upstairs. I could keep going. Sometimes I want to keep going. Sometimes I don't want to go upstairs and help out in the bathroom. But there's a time for everything. And we mustn't be lazy and be very, very busy while in fact we're very lazy. You can be busy at uni while you're lazy. So you can be busy at church while you're lazy at uni. But it could also be that you're lazy in your Christian life. It can work the other way, can't it? That maybe, you know, you don't really read the Bible, you don't pray, you call yourself a follower of Jesus, but you're a really, really lazy follower of Jesus. In fact, you really, you know, you've got about as much enthusiasm as someone who's not a Christian. You call yourself a Christian, but you wouldn't really know it. So you might be lazy that way. You might be really, really talented at your university work, and so you spend a lot of time being very busy person, but you're completely lazy in your Christian life. And so maybe you need to get that in line. Now, life is a juggle. We do juggle these things. I juggle my family. I juggle my own Christian life. I juggle my work here. I juggle my relationships with my parents. And we just need to be wise and to think about what we're doing. This is what the whole book's about, isn't it? About wisdom. About not being lazy in one area. About being busy at something we like and not doing the things we should be doing. So I want to challenge us all to not be busy, lazy people. If you don't like your uni work, you're still going to have self-control to set aside the time to do it. Maybe talk to someone, find out some way of doing it. If you're lazy in your Christian life, well, then you need to sort that out as well, don't you? Maybe you need to do a little bit less watching of TV or a little less watching of, a little less uni work or whatever it is, so that you actually take your Christian life seriously and that you're not lazy in it. Now, one of the problems with laziness is that it actually brings with it sin. I'll just quickly read this to you. Two Thessalonians chapter 3. I'll just read this out because for the sake of time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul says, "We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy. They are busybodies." And in 1 Timothy 5 we're told of idle young women who become busybodies and gossips. And that's one of the things that can happen with being idle, isn't it? With being lazy. That you've got all this time and you actually can fall into sin a lot easier when you're lazy, because you've got more time on your hands, you're bored. A lot of people who are involved in crime have come from a lazy background where they've had a lot of time, they've been bored, they haven't done anything, and then they start a life of crime. But it could just be that you being lazy can annoy other people because you don't do the work that you should. I think being lazy often leads us to lying. Who's ever lied about handing in an assignment late? You know, you go there, okay, thanks for your honesty. I know there was more of you. But yeah, you're lazy, you mess around, you're going to church, you're going out, you're watching videos, whatever, you haven't done your assignment. So, well, I was sort of feeling sick. As I said, that's probably the result of staying up all night watching videos, but I feel sick. And so I'll say to my lecturer, well, you know, I was sick. Or you just, so it actually leads us to lying. Being lazy can lead us to lying and lead us to sin. It can lead us to blaming others. To trying to pass off the blame for why something hasn't happened to us onto other people. Laziness can even make us envy other people. When we see what other people have got through their own hard work and we envy them. See, laziness can be a seedbed for a whole lot of other sins that come out of it. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 9 is a very strong one, very strong proverb about how God views laziness, and we'll see why in a moment. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 9. "One who is slack in his work is brother to one who destroys." One who is slack in his work is brother to one who destroys. Now, have you ever seen those vandals who go around and smash something? You sort of go, oh, that's really bad to be smashing it. Well, if you're lazy, you're a brother to a vandal. You haven't done that exact same thing, but you're heading down that direction. You haven't contributed to the work that should have been done, and just as this person's undoing other people's work, say you're not helping to the work. That's a strong word, isn't there? That if you're slack in your work, you're a brother to one who destroys. That's how God views laziness. Now, why is that the case? And why are the Proverbs so negative about laziness? That's a good question to ask, because you could get different wisdom if you read somewhere else. I remember reading a surfing magazine called Tracks once. I didn't read it very often, but I read it once. And in it, it was giving you all the advice on how to get the dole so that you could get enough blokes together, you could hire a house, rent a house near the beach, getting all the dole money in, and you'd have enough money to look after the house and to get enough food and enough marijuana so that you could have just laze around and do nothing but surf and bludge. And that was the wisdom that they were saying. Now obviously that's not the type of wisdom we've got here in the Bible, but why does the Bible say what it's saying? Why doesn't it say that? Why doesn't it say, if you can get away with being lazy, then do, because it's less work for you? That's the type of wisdom that is out there. Well, the reason why, and I'm just going to do this quickly for the sake of time now, but the reason why the Bible is against laziness is that God is a worker. If you read Genesis chapter 1, you see that God is a worker. And to be godly, to be godlike, is to be a worker as well. So God in his very person is a worker. You may not have thought about that, but the biblical God is a God who gets his hands dirty, who's intimately involved, who's in fact working all of the time. And we see in Genesis chapter 2:15 that when he creates Adam, that Adam is to work the garden as well. And so laziness is actually being ungodly. And working is actually part of what it means to be human. Part of what it means to be human. If you're lazy as a human, then you'll actually find that it will change you. It will change your attitudes. It will cause you problems. And this is why I think we need to talk about unemployment. Because working is good for you. You may not have thought that, but working is good for you. There's a satisfaction which comes from working and having an honest day's work. But it's also ontologically who you are. Who you are in your essence is a worker. We work in different ways, but who we are workers. We've been created to work. And that's why unemployment is so bad. And I guess that some of us here will suffer unemployment at various times. I've suffered it. I got retrenched from one job and I had to go and make my own work. But that's why unemployment can lead to depression in people. And you must not underestimate the difficulties that somebody who's long-term unemployed would be feeling. They may well be feeling depressed. They may be really struggling with life as they see other people going ahead, but yet they can't even get work to do when they want to. And it's almost a forced laziness on them, isn't it? And then they've got to go around applying for jobs, and that gets boring after a while because after they keep saying to you, no, 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 you get bored of that and you get frustrated by it. So I want you to have mercy and compassion on people who you know who may be unemployed, because they may be suffering from laziness when they don't want to, and you need to help them by getting them actively involved in things, because I think that would be a very difficult situation to be in long term, where they would suffer many of the consequences of laziness when they actually didn't want to. Now, we see that Jesus is one of the classic workers in the Bible. I'll just read these out to you. They're just from John's Gospel. But Jesus is a classic hard worker. He says, "My food," so this is John chapter 4, verse 34, "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Jesus came to do the work of God, and it was like food to him. Or chapter 9, verse 4, "As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." Or chapter 17, verse 4. This is just a couple of a little selection here. So you can see how Jesus was a hard worker. "I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." Now, what was this work that Jesus had? We see him here saying, "I've come to do the work of God. God's work is my food." Well, the work he came to do was to bring your salvation. That was Jesus' work. He came to make God known and to bring about your forgiveness of sins. You and I are actually lazy people when it comes to God. The Bible says that no one seeks God, that all have turned away. And we've all actually, in turning our backs on God, we've treated him the way a lazy person treats God. So in one sense, we're all lazy, and that sin of laziness, that sin of just thinking nothing about God and not taking God seriously, is part of the reason why Christ came to die on the cross to pay for our sins. He came as the hard worker to pay for our sins so that we don't have to face the judgment of God that we deserve. That's the work that Jesus came to do. And it's that work that Jesus offers out to you. Jesus says, you lazy man, you lazy woman, who have turned your back on God and have counted God as of a minor component in their life. You lazy person, you turn back to God now, because through me you can. Through the forgiveness of sins that I bring, you can. Now, I've given you a couple of other verses there, but for the sake of time, I'll finish up now. But what Jesus has done for us compels us as Christians. Paul says the love of Christ compels us, for we're convinced that what Jesus has done is for all people. And so as Christians, we're to be busy in our gospel work. We've actually got a motive to be busy, not to be lazy, because we know of what Christ has done for us. We know of what Christ has done for the world. And so that's to be really the motive for our own busyness and being busy about the things of God. Now, I'll finish up with chapter 19, verse 24. And again, I just want to challenge us about our own laziness with God. Chapter 19, verse 24. This one seems unbelievable, but the sluggard, he buries his hand into the dish, that is, into the dish of food. He will not even bring it back to his mouth. How lazy a picture is that? It's almost an unbelievably lazy picture, isn't it? There it is, there's a big bowl of lollies on the table. And this lazy person comes up, they put their hand in, but they're so lazy. They won't even take the lollies out to eat them. It sounds unbelievable, doesn't it? But sometimes we can be that lazy with the things of God. The things of God have been given to us in Jesus. And in fact, many people know about the things of God. They may know what Jesus has done for them, but they've just never taken the step of taking God seriously and saying, I'm going to follow Jesus, I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus. And so they know that the gospel's there, they know the things of God are there, and they've just reached out with their hand, but they're just too lazy to bring it back. They're just too lazy to actually make a stand and to take a start as being a committed disciple of Jesus. Now, is that you? Are you lazy in your Christian life? Do you need to tighten your Christian life up? That's what we're here about at Focus, about helping each other to be diligent Christians, helping each other to work hard in our uni, but also helping each other to take a stand as Christians at uni and not being lazy, but actually being diligent, hard-working Christians, people who serve the Lord, people who, when the Lord comes back, will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you that you are our creator and you are the worker of all workers. We just pray, Father, that you will give us wisdom as we work here on earth. Please help us not to be lazy and to do the work that we just like, but rather to know our responsibility and to fulfill our responsibility by being diligent workers in those different areas of our life. And we thank you that Jesus did your work, and that because of him we can be saved. And we pray this in his name. Amen.